Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman. A media dish of sorts continues to simmer this week over an online opinion piece in the Boston Globe that was posted last week and then taken down. You might have caught it. In the piece, the writer, Luke O'Neill, described a choice he made a decade ago as a waiter in Cambridge not to urinate on the salmon he was serving one evening to conservative political analyst Bill Kristol. O'Neill also wrote that not doing so was one of his biggest regrets in life. And within a day of this column being up, backlash mounted. The Globe edited the piece, first to make the language less guttural. Then the article caught the attention of the owners of the Boston Globe, Linda and John Henry, who condemned its publication, and the piece was removed. The Globe then published a note to readers explaining why the column was removed, stating it, quote, did not receive sufficient editorial oversight and did not meet Globe standards. The Globe also said it, quote, regrets its lack of vigilance on the matter and noted that the author is not a member of its staff. The piece can be found through a web archive through the Washington Post, which reported also on the story, which is how we have looked at the piece today. Luke O'Neill is with us right now. He has in the past contributed arts pieces to the Boston Globe. He also writes for Boston Magazine, and he lists many other outlets on his bio, including the Wall Street Journal, the Village Voice, the Huffington Post, McSweeney's, and he publishes his own work on his subscription-based website, Welcome to Hell World. Luke O'Neill, thanks so much for joining us now via Skype.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. It's good to meet you. I've been reading a lot of your work today. Your piece, the specific Boston Globe piece we're talking about, was largely about the resignation of former Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nielsen. She was among a number of Trump cabinet officials who at some point shame marched out of restaurants and theaters. Nielsen, because of the policy last year that she oversaw separating families at the U.S. border. But you start this piece with a paragraph on that restaurant episode that we talked about a moment ago with Bill Kristol. What is the connection? How did you narratively get there?
Well, the main reason I started with that is because it's very clearly a funny joke. And, you know, obviously I was never going to actually pee in somebody's dish. And I'm going to have to try really hard to not say the other word here, I'm told.
So we're told.
Yes. And that would be a really insane thing to do. As I do in much of my writing, I'm using crude hyperbole to sort of make a point, which is that people who are responsible for the suffering of thousands like Kristen Nielsen or people who cheerlead the country with the ear of the president into an illegal war that led to the deaths of 500,000 people. I think it might be okay for us in general to be somewhat rude to those type of people in public.
So, Luke O'Neill, we're going to stick with you and your column for just a few minutes. And then we also want to hear from our listeners. We have John Carroll in the studio as well. Listeners, we do want to hear from you. If you saw this article in The Globe when it was first published, what did you make of it? And is there a point that you think at which political commentary goes too far in print or online? And did this piece for you as a reader reach that point? Or is the commentary justified? We want to know what you also think about the Globe's editorial decision to eventually pull the story. That's a bold and new kind of move in media, in a mainstream media. Was it the right one? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So I'm sorry, Luke, just to do a little business there. Luke O'Neill, do you have any reservations or did you have reservations or concerns when you wrote the piece in a tone that is different from other pieces that you have written for The Globe, even in the last, even in March and April, that are also politically left? But this one, you went with an editor. Were you worried about the tone that you had in that lead paragraph especially, and then about having it published?
I just want to be clear that what we're talking about here is an administration with an explicit policy of tearing families apart and putting babies in cages and misplacing children throughout the country. I refuse to pretend that there's anything offensive about me saying, you know, a pee in someone's dish. I'm not going to accept any sort of, blame or anything. It's just silly to me.
Okay, so let me just see if I could rephrase this. So it was not a big deal for you to submit this to an editor, and you did not expect, I imagine, then, that this was going to be having the kind of backlash that you've witnessed and having the piece pulled?
No, not really. I write this sort of stuff all the time. And, it tends to be received in the tone that it's meant to be until, you know, there's like this faux outrage. This is something that the right does all the time. They try to work the refs and they do these like phony, you know, emails and call-ins saying they're canceling their subscriptions. And, you know, legacy media still doesn't know how to deal with that sort of thing. They're still being somehow outflanked by, you know, these people on the right who are much savvier about this sort of stuff than newspaper editors.
I want to mention that we did reach out to the Boston Globe to join us today. They couldn't make anyone available, but they did issue a statement. And it is that the, quote, the Globe opinion page removed from our website, the April 10 column by freelance writer Luke O'Neill on former Homeland Security Chief Kirsten Nielsen. The column should never have been published. Editorial protocol was not followed, and the column did not receive sufficient editorial oversight. Globe Opinion is a platform for a variety of viewpoints and welcomes a range of voices to promote discussion on important topics in a productive way. Again, that is the statement we got from the Globe today about this column, Luke O'Neill. And I want to ask, did you have any agency in the re-editing of the first line when the first edit happened before the column was taken down with a Globe editor?
Yeah, by the time that they were freaking out, my immediate editor sent me something. And by this point, I was like already getting inundated by people harassing me on my Twitter. So I was just like, do whatever you want. I don't care. But then I had nothing to do. They didn't even tell me about the taking it down or any of the further edits after that. I was not consulted, nor have I heard from anyone there. Except for my immediate editor, who also seems to be in trouble at this point.
Luke O'Neill is with us, listeners. He is a journalist who has in the past contributed to the Boston Globe and other publications, and a piece of his was, which we'll talk more about in a moment, was taken down by the Globe last week. We want to hear from you. If you saw that op-ed piece about peeing in a conservative's food, did it go too far for you as a reader, and did the Globe make the right wrong move or the wrong move in pulling the piece down? Please give us a call today at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Luke O'Neill, I want to bring John Carroll in on this. He is WBUR senior news analyst. He's the author of It's Good to Live in a Two Daily Town blog. I love that. It just, you know, we're talking about what, you know, what we read and what we devour every day in terms of papers, I imagine. John, it's good to see you again also after a long time. Do you two know each other? Have you met?
No, we haven't.
Well, introductions are here.
Hello, Luke.
Hey, how are you?
I want to know what you thought of the piece if you first saw it when it was live.
Well, I did not see it when it was live. I saw it in the aftermath. And it comes as part of a sort of a wave of columns and opinions about departing Trump administration officials, current Trump administration officials, that, you know, they shouldn't have a soft landing when they leave and go and wind up on corporate boards and in academic institutions or over at the International House of Politics at Harvard. They should basically pay a price for what they have done. There have been a number of those columns out there. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, this was very much in the mainstream of a certain line of opinion. I think that the Boston Globe is looking for new readers. I think that they're looking for younger readers. And I think that they realize that younger readers want news with an attitude, with an edge. A lot of organizations think they want to be provocative and edgy, and then they find out the hard way that they don't really want to be.
And Luke O'Neill, are you working with the Globe any longer? Do you know what your relationship is with them? Have you heard from them?
Well, my relationship with them was my choice, and I announced that I was quitting immediately once they deleted the piece, because why would I work with a place that's going to throw me under the bus like that ever again?
John, you, as the things that you have just described in a changing, you know, in a changing world, looking for audience, you've written for the Boston Globe, and do you still write for the Boston Globe?
I did not still write for the Boston Globe, but I did a lot of freelance work for the Globe in the late '80s and all through the '90s. And it was a different world. It was a print world, and I had different relationships with editors. Some of them were good, some of them were bad. I had one editor who, when he had to shorten a piece, just lopped off the last sentence of every paragraph. It was like a Texas chainsaw edit, you know, I had other editors who were great and collaborative. It depends on the individual, but it was a much simpler time. I think there's a sort of a disconnection here, and the difference between online publication and print publication is something that is becoming coming into clearer and clearer focus all the time.
Right, and so John, I don't know if you've read Luke O'Neill's website, but
I have.
But okay, so there are these articles there. You write beautifully. I might say I'm enjoying your reading, whether or not I agree or not. It's just some great writing there, and it's provocative, and it's filled with imagery and metaphor, and it's your website. As you know, you might be able to say the same things on the Trevor Noah show, on the Daily Show, or on Stephen Colbert. Maybe the Boston Globe, as John you were saying, is not the place. But how do we know and why and who is rewriting the rules in terms of print traditional media versus online, Luke or John?
Go ahead, Luke. I'll give it to you.
I am sympathetic to that in a way. Like, if my editor had said, "Oh, can you tone this down a little bit before publishing?" I would have taken the edit. Like, I'm not an insane person, It wasn't absolutely imperative for me to get that particular imagery into a piece. But I think the point John makes about legacy publications thinking that they want to be edgier and getting younger readers and things like that, and then immediately regretting it once they get the smallest amount of blowback, I think that's a very good one. And I don't remember what the first part of the question was, because I was just thinking about how you said nice words about my writings.
Well, forget it. Your articles are very hard to read. And I actually had to look up a lot of words, by the way, as you probably know. I said basically that the question is who will rewrite these rules? How will they be rewritten? And because this is very fast paced, John, right? This is not, we're writing still. The things to write about are always there, whether it's politics or the arts.
Right. There's another aspect to this, too, and it's generational. So, this piece was pulled from the website at the insistence of John Henry and Linda Pizzuti Henry. John Henry is the owner and publisher. Linda Pizzuti Henry is the managing director of the Globe. This is a generational issue as much as anything else. And for them, it was, I believe, a matter of propriety. It's kind of an old-fashioned term. But there are different definitions of what is acceptable, what is respectable, and what is not. And I think that a generational gap is basically at work here. Mm-hmm. And also, I think that a lot of times the legacy media don't really have a sufficient grasp of the dynamics of the digital world. And I think that that they learned some lessons really the hard way.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear also, this article, Luke O'Neill, your column, was not in the print version of the Boston Globe.
It was online,
the new branch. Let's get some listeners involved here. We are talking about an op-ed piece. I'm sorry, not an op-ed piece. We are talking about an opinion piece that was in the Boston Globe online last week, written by Luke O'Neill, who joins us now. John Carroll is here also, senior news analyst for WBUR. In that, Luke O'Neill made a reference to peeing on the dish of a conservative politician. He was a waiter in Cambridge. This was 10 years ago. It was Bill Kristol, another political time. The Globe pulled the piece, essentially. We want to hear from Galen now in Newton. Thanks for joining us on Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for taking my call. It's a real privilege. I wanted to say that Mr. O'Neill should be commended, if anything, for taking a humorous tack at something that's really a brazen human rights violation of hundreds of thousands of people who are trying to find safety, and to be able to poke at it with jest is admirable, because there are plenty of other ways to express outrage with this administration. And if anything, the paper's decision to pull it is pretty sad. I mean, I majored in history in college and did archival research for 2 years on major newspapers from the 1800s, and people were saying far worse things about politicians of both stripes. Shouldn't matter either, liberal or conservative news outlet, Wall Street Journal or Boston Globe. I mean, this is a serious issue, and if you can bring attention to it and bring someone into the fold, maybe it's someone who prefers humor, that's great. The more people who actually read about this rather than responding to it via tweet is something that's really important.
Right, and
Galen, Mr. O'Neill.
On the flip side, Galen, there are people who maintain that Luke O'Neill's column was a call for violence, and that is something else. And I just want to ask you a quick question: if you had seen it, is it different for you in print versus online to see a column as such? Is there a place? Is there a place where this kind of column shouldn't have been placed, Galen?
I think it's probably even more dangerous to place it online than it is to put it in print. I mean, look at the number of people who read the current occupant of the White House's tweets. What he did, for instance, with Ilhan Omar, that's as much violence as this piece is, if you want to put it that way.
Okay, we will take that one on another day. It's a big conversation too. Listeners, we are talking about an op-ed piece described this historical moment where Luke O'Neill, the writer, did not, in fact, pee on the salmon dish of Bill Kristol, who he was serving in a Cambridge restaurant about a decade ago. We want to hear from you at 800-423-8255. That is 800-423-TALK. Phil from Newton, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have not read this article that you've been talking about, but I've listened to some of what the journalist has said, which repeats a very familiar trope, a very familiar lie, for example, about separating parents from their children and putting children in cages, which is kind of ridiculous. And by the way, the law that was passed that instigated this policy of separating children from parents was passed in the 90s. And it was implemented not only by subsequent presidents, not just so-called conservative presidents, but it was in full force during the Obama administration. I don't see the journalist having written or writing about peeing in an Obama supporter.
Phil, there is a lot of debate on the origins of this law and when it began. So I just want to table that there for a moment. Luke O'Neill, you say you wrote this with humor at first.
Yeah,
you were not humorous at all about what you observed at the border under the watch of Kirstjen Nielsen. And I wonder, you've gotten some flack on that. I want to just play this from Fox News host Tucker Carlson, who on Fox News last week commented on this incident. He said it was amazing that the Boston Globe is still in operation. He also got your last name wrong the first time he said it. He also called you a nutcase for arguing the op-ed was tongue in cheek. So let's listen to what he had to say.
I think that'd fly if an op-ed columnist at Boston Globe suggested poisoning Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton? Yeah, probably not. Not so long ago, it would not have been acceptable for anyone to say that. In America, we express disagreement through voting and public debate, what we're doing right now. We don't attack people or suggest poisoning them or scream at them if they dare go outside. That is the politics of fear and hatred and eventually, maybe not even so eventually, violence.
So this is someone who said some pretty inflammatory things himself, Tucker Carlson. But what does all of this say about what culture wars are playing out right now on the political landscape?
Well, can I say something
Please.
Here? First of all, Tucker Carlson's a white nationalist. And second of all, I don't this is really hard for me to say this without swearing. I do not care about Obama or Hillary Clinton. Like conservatives always say that, like, well, Obama did him. And I'm like, OK, well, get him, too. Like, is that supposed to be some sort of checkmate? Like, it's OK to tear families apart because a Democrat did it? I could not care less about Obama or anyone in his administration. If they were in power right now, I'd be saying the same thing.
I want to remind listeners that we are talking with Luke O'Neill and with John Carroll about a column that was in the Boston Globe last week and also pulled down because of how Luke O'Neill wrote the column, a reference to thinking about peeing in the dinner of someone he was serving, a political conservative named Bill Kristol, some will remember. This is about 10 years ago. It was connected to Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen, the former secretary, that is, and her resignation from the Trump administration. John Carroll, this may be a repeat in a way and redundant, but we're talking about the placement of humor, which is how, in a way, or satire in journalism, in an opinion piece. in the Globe, but we heard our listener in Newton say he thought there was no place for this. Where is the line drawn, again, in these legacy publications?
Well, humor is in the eye of the beholder very often.
Right,
So that's one issue. The other issue is the parallel information universes that people are living in now. And the idea of sort of shared, mutually agreed upon facts is something that is vanishing quickly. So it makes it much harder to have any kind of reasonable public discourse. And this became tribal in 30 seconds. Basically, it was, the ideology split that was erupted on Twitter was something where everybody dug in and were basically attacking each other, and there was no conversation. And one of the issues and one of the concerns of a lot of mainstream media organizations is how to have some kind of civil discourse. And you see a lot of people, a lot of organizations, including NPR, have eliminated comment sections because basically can't keep them civil. They can't keep them on topic either, which becomes an issue. And so what you have is all of this rolled up into one combustible incident that brings out sort of the extreme views of a lot of people, and people who want to have a civil conversation about it, it's much, much harder to do.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot in this story, Luke O'Neill. Maybe, all of this brings up an incredible conversation that is one about where we are technologically, where journalism goes, and editorially. Let's get to some of those callers again, because there's some good insight here. Michael from Leominster, thanks for calling in to Radio Boston.
Hi, I'm a former newspaper reporter and editor, and I think this is really a failure of the Boston Globe to have stopped this piece before it was ever even published. So I'm reminded of 2009, Playboy ran an article about, I'm going to clean up the language, about having hate sex with conservative women, and they pulled it, and it really does seem like something that is beyond the pale and never should have gotten as far as going past the editor's desk.
John, what do you think about that? John Carroll, who has written for the Globe, who has been a media analyst for a long time.
I would say, just on a personal level, I was surprised that it made it in that form to the Globe website. And again, I know they're reaching out to a new audience, but it just seemed to me out of character with the Globe, and I knew that it was going to be something that was going to blow up in their faces pretty much as soon as I saw it.
Luke O'Neill, I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah. Please go ahead.
What are we even talking about here? We're I made like a crude joke about peeing in someone's dish who administration officials, you could very easily argue are committing massive human rights violations as we speak, and hoping to make them worse, somehow. And the fact that anyone could spare any of their outrage for me saying pee pee poo poo in the newspaper is just blowing my mind. It's just really weird. It's just, I don't know what norms, people seem to think there's some norms left, but there are not. Donald Trump is president. No, there are no more norms.
And so you had the Boston Globe taking a notion that they would publish this, right? But it was about the language that was used, or about this vision that somebody, and namely, I imagine the publishers, the Henrys, said this is too, this is inappropriate. And it may have been about, we don't know if it was about the pee and the poo and whatever else, but or if it was about, what they read into it. So you've opened up a good conversation, Luke O'Neill. Last words, we've got to wrap up. Anything? I mean, where this goes from here?
I think for John Henry, like all billionaires everywhere, is very uncomfortable by the idea of people taking any sort of action and having any sort of power. And, maybe more than me saying pee, that made him uncomfortable.
Luke O'Neill, thank you so much for joining us by Skype today. Luke O'Neill is a writer, a journalist, and has contributed in the past to the Boston Globe. WCBUR senior news analyst John Carroll, it's really good to see you. It's been a long time. The man behind the blog, it's good to live in a two-daily town. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, John.
You're listening to Radio Boston.